What is truth for me or you? This is Dr. Herbert L. Bairley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. What is truth for me or for you? Whatever is truth for us is not necessarily truth for somebody else. Now, we were just talking about Plato's cave, and we were saying how outside the cave, these larger-than-life figures were walking back and forth and scared the living daylights out of the people, and they remained in the cave year after year after year. And finally, one young man decided that he would go outside and see what's going on out there, because his curiosity got the best of him. He went out there, and he found that these people had the sun reflecting upon them, making them appear larger than life on the wall behind, and that they were just ordinary people who didn't really care at all where he came from, where he was going, who he was, or everybody could leave the cave and nobody would make know any difference and to care. So he went back to the cave to his fellows, and he says, "Hey, they don't care about us out there. They're not ogres and terrible people. They're just people like we are. But the sun is behind them, reflecting on them." Well, what is the sun? What is it reflecting on them? What is magnifying them? They had lived so many generations in the cave, they had never seen the sun. All they saw was its reflection, and they didn't know that the reflection was not the sun. And so they took this young man and they said, "I believe you've gone astray." And they locked him with chains and everything to keep him from going out there and bringing trouble to them. For surely he would bring trouble to them, because he found out another truth. The truth that they had in the cave of living a frightened life, and his truth of living a life independent in a whole different framework. Not that it wasn't a frightening life out there too, but a whole different framework. And they didn't want to mess up their understanding of truth. And how often do we do that? We don't want to mess up our understanding of truth. It's not that the truth that we have is so good or so right, but it's the truth that we have. Many people say, don't take their Jesus away from them. If you describe too much of what Jesus said, and if you look too closely at the Bible stories, you find that Jesus was indeed a man. Jesus was indeed a wonderful being, and many other things, but he was a man. And people want to make Jesus into a saint. They want to make him into something unusual. But and of course, they're doing that to this day. Throughout history, the Catholic Church has made saints out of people who have been remarkable. And these were just ordinary human beings who were remarkable, because they maintained the one-pointedness, untouchable, unpossessed, non-judgmental, and they remained very true to that attitude and that principle. Now, are you ready for something like that? Are you ready to stand behind whatever you believe? No. We talk to people, many people call it the healing ministry, and as we talk to people on the healing ministry, they say, "Oh my goodness, you know, I have so many troubles. I have so many problems. You know, I have all these diseases. I have all these illnesses. And I have all these things. My family has this." And we say to them, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to think for you?" "Well, I don't want these diseases. And I don't want my family to have these diseases. And I don't want..." "Well, what do you want to do?" "I don't want these diseases. I don't want my family." "Well, what do you want us to do?" "I don't want these diseases. I don't want my family." "But what do you want us to do?" "I want to be whole and perfect." Ooh, how wonderful. You just put your thought, your heart, your mind on, "I am whole and perfect. I am whole and perfect." And pretty soon, all thoughts which are unlike "I am whole and perfect" will cease to have any power, and they will drift away, and only "I am whole and perfect" thoughts will come into your life, come into your experience, and that's all you'll know, that's all you'll experience, that's all you'll have ever and ever and ever and ever. "But I've got these problems." Oh, can you say "I'm whole and perfect"? But I got the problem. Don't you understand? Are you some sort of stupid person? You don't understand I got these problems? No. I understand you want a new cause in motion. Are you willing to put the new cause in motion? Are you willing to put the new cause? Your son is a terrible student. He is stupid, stupid, stupid. And you're going to hire a tutor to make him unstupid. How can you hire a tutor to make him unstupid if he's stupid? Well, the truth is, your son is not stupid. He is just experiencing what appears to be stupid. And it's not his reality. It is not who your son really is. Your son is really a genius. My son is a genius. Oh, boy, I love that. I'll keep thinking that. You're going to get this genius tutor in there to teach your genius son how to be a genius. And, man, oh, man, you better watch out. Okay. So you hire this genius teacher. And the genius teacher goes in and has to do a lot of groundbreaking. And the kid is not too easy to train. But the teacher works with him. And the teacher works. And then the teacher gets married and leaves. And they have to get another teacher. So the only other teacher that's available is a young genius, about the same age as their son. But he's a young genius, just a super genius kid, just a super genius kid. And he goes and talks to this kid, the student. And the super genius kid talks to the student and says, "Well, what have you been doing lately? You know, what are you working on? You know, oh, hey, that's neat stuff. This, but," and he acts as though the kid knows everything already. He acts as though the kid is a genius himself because he's a genius, and he doesn't know anybody else but geniuses. He doesn't know anybody else in the world except geniuses, just like he is. And he takes this kid, he talks to this kid, and by the time he's done with that kid, in a couple of hours, the kid's believing he's a genius. And in a couple of weeks, the kid is an absolute genius. Absolute genius in everything. Because the kid who teaches the kid doesn't know anything else but being a genius. And the parents say, "Well, how come this other teacher didn't have so much success?" Well, the other teacher was teaching a stupid person how to be a genius. This young man was teaching a peer. He was teaching someone who was a genius how to be a better genius, even a better genius. He did not look at the student as one who did not know. He looked at him who one who just not had revealed it yet. And he was working with him on revealing the genius, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you look at Irene's mother. Irene's mother is visiting this rest home, and in this rest home, she's, okay. But Irene decides, "My mother is a super lady. My mother is a super lady. My mother is a super lady." And everybody else thinks, "You are crazy." So she shuts up. And she has it just between her mother and herself. And she goes in to see her mother every single morning for several months. And she says under her breath or aloud or whatever, "My mother is a super lady. My mother is a super lady." Well, within no time at all, her mother dies. She is dead as a doornail. And the super lady that Irene has been seeing in her mother's place, like the phoenix, comes forth out of the ashes of the dead mother. And the dead mother is never more to be known. Only the new, beautiful phoenix comes forth. The new, beautiful mother, who is the ideal mother that Irene spoke her word about. And this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Now, Sylvia, she looks at Ingeborg and she says, "Ingeborg, you are a genius. You are so beautiful. You are so wonderful. You are so fantastic. Ingeborg, you are the most super lady in the world. Ingeborg, I am so happy to know you. You're my pure reflection. Ingeborg, I love you, I love you, I love you." Ha, ha, ha. But it happened in no time at all. And Ingeborg, looking at Sylvia, Ingeborg says, "Sylvia, Herb told me something about you." And Sylvia says, "Yeah, what'd he say?" "And Herb told me that you are the most beautiful lady in the world." "Oh, come on now, get off my back. That's kind of silly. You know that's not true." Ingeborg, if Herb says it's true, it's true. But Ingeborg is going to persist and say, Sylvia, Herb says you are the most beautiful lady in the world. That you are gentle and loving and kind, and you are beautiful and glorious, and everybody looks at you and just feels, what a joyous person to be with. What a fabulous person to be with. And Cecilia says, oh, come on now, you're pushing my buttons. And Ingeborg says, and it's a lot of fun to push your buttons because they're all hanging out there. And it's so nice. And so what's going to happen to Sylvia? The Sylvia that was there all along with that beautiful unrevealed self reveals herself. Ha-ha! I was there all along. Ha-ha! You didn't even know that I was there all along. And we all say, Sylvia, we knew. We knew. And you see, this is how it happens. Are you ready for that revelation? Are you ready for that awakening? Are you ready for that to happen? Yeah. Heinz? Are you ready for that to happen?
Yes.
What's going to happen? Is Heinz Mr. Fantastic? Is Heinz Mr. Wholeness? Is Heinz Mr. Wonderful? Is Heinz the most glorious man in the universe who lives immortally in his ideal spirit, mind, and body? Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. That would shake a lot of boats, wouldn't it? So Heinz goes to his former doctors and he says, hey doc, just thought I'd let you check me over here. And the doctors say, oh good, more money. And no, this is on you. You diagnosed me as being a jerk, and I want you to re-diagnose me. And so the doctors re-diagnose him. Hey, you're not a jerk. You're a genius. And Heinz says, thank you, sir. You re-diagnosed me correct. See? That's what it's all about. Well, think about these things. It's up to you. What kind of life do you want? What kind of world do you want? You got it all right now. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.